Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see each and every one of you here today and to be blessed by the ability to worship together and to have a church family. It's incredibly, incredibly valuable. I want to really invite you to come on Wednesday to our new prayer meeting. The prayer meeting format will change. We will be emphasizing more personal testimonies, and I just hope you come and are blessed by being together with God's people. The prayer meeting is on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And I think God will really bless those who choose to be part of this and come together and worship God together. Let's have a word of prayer before we hear God's word. Dear God in heaven, I just want to praise you and thank you that you have given us your word. And I just pray that you would bless so that everyone hears your message. In Jesus' name, amen. So racial segregation had been in place for centuries in South Africa. But in 1948, the leaders of South Africa put into effect a new system of forced segregation. It was a strict and systematic system. The system was termed apartheid, which means in Afrikaans, separateness. The evils of racial segregation were enforced in every aspect of daily life. Public facilities were segregated, social events were segregated, you couldn't marry across racial barriers. Non-whites were forced to live in areas designated for non-whites, and there was mass removals of people. Non-whites had to be issued work permits to work in areas where whites worked, and blacks were denied the right to vote. This system was enforced with brutality, and it lasted for about 47 years, until in 1995 there were multiracial elections. Now, one man played a larger role in the end of apartheid than any other, and his name was Nelson Mandela. President de Klerk also played a major role here. He released Mandela from prison in 1989 after 27 years of being imprisoned for working against apartheid. And the two of them together negotiated the end of apartheid. But it was really Nelson Mandela that was able to put into effect the end of this system. And he was able to do so because instead of punishing those who had put the system into place, he sought reconciliation. He sought forgiveness. He sought the truth. He enacted something that was called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And this was a group that investigated these crimes that were done under apartheid to try to bring the truth to light. But instead of punishing the people that were involved on both sides with these crimes, the end goal was to bring about understanding and forgiveness. Now, Nelson Mandela changed a nation, but he also changed a whole continent. Because during this time, there were only two democratic nations in Africa. Most of the leaders were authoritarian, and they used the excuse for their authoritarian rule that authoritarian rule was what Africans knew, and this was truly the African mentality. But Nelson Mandela demonstrated that this was simply not true, that democracy could spring out from Africa. And today, there are over 51 democratic countries in Africa. So here we have one man changing a continent. The story reminds me of another very consequential leader that changed the world. The story of the second Adam, the story of Jesus Christ, who brought an end to the oppressive reign of sin and death brought in by the rebellion of the first Adam. Now, the second Adam brought eternal freedom to the human race. The story is briefly outlined in Romans chapter 5. And as you know, we're going through a series on Romans. Now, there are many stories in the Bible that give details of this larger picture of the new Adam, the second Adam. And we need to go to these different parts of the Bible to get the larger picture. Today, I really want to focus on the larger picture. And I want to really begin at the beginning of the story. Adam, he was created as the monarch of our planet. We don't often think about that. We think about Adam as being the first man. But he was actually created as a monarch. He was given dominion over all things. But Adam's loyalty was put to the test. He was put on trial. He was required to render perfect obedience to God, not only in his own behalf, but on behalf of his posterity. God promised him that if he would stand the test of temptation to which he would be subjected, preserving his allegiance to his Creator, then his obedience would do three things. It would ensure his acceptance and favor with God forever. He would be forever established in holiness and happiness. And these blessings would then be extended to his posterity forever. And the place of his kingdom would be established on a sure footing forever. In other words, eternity was at stake here. And as we know, Adam failed this test, failed it miserably. And when Adam fell, he lost his acceptance and favor with God. He lost his holiness and his happiness, and his entire dominion fell out from under him. The animal world, the vegetation, the climate, in short, the entire planet received a new ruler, Satan, the one who he had given into. Paul stresses in Romans 8 that this did not happen willingly, but involuntarily. When the head of a state chooses to go down a path, then the whole nation must take the same path that he chooses. And this is what happened. By yielding to temptation, mankind was brought under the power of Satan's rebellious rule. In 2 Peter 2:19, we are told that of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. When a man gave in to Satan, he became Satan's captive, and his dominion was passed to Satan, to his conqueror. And thus Paul could say that Satan became the god of this world. He usurped man's dominion. And because of this, all of Adam's descendants also lost favor with heaven. They were also made sinners. They lost that original holiness, and they came under the same rule, the rule of Satan. And in a way, this new dominion was like a kind of spiritual apartheid. It was a systematic separation from God and from the heavenly beings. But thank God that he didn't let mankind remain under this satanic apartheid. God actually fought back to free us. And this is the story that is summarized there in Romans chapter 5. How did he do this? Well, the Father sent his Son in human mortal flesh as the second Adam to regain the acceptance and favor of God, to repossess the original holiness that Adam possessed in the beginning, and to retake the kingdom that Adam had lost to Satan. How Jesus accomplishes this is the most important story known to man. It involves a tremendous amount of heroism. We see in Jesus self-sacrifice, risk-taking, struggle, conflict, and great, great suffering. Now, Jesus, in order to embark on this mission, had to make himself incredibly vulnerable by putting aside his divine power and placing it in his Father's trust. So when he came into Satan's dominion here on this earth, he had weak human flesh, and he was to fight Satan's oppressive rule in this weakness as the second Adam, as a human being, with the help of his Father. And he met Satan's attacks, he met Satan's temptations, not as God, but as a man, with all the weaknesses that man has. And as we know, the rest is history. He overcame on the same point that Adam failed on. He overcame on all the points that we fail on. He resisted his own self-interest, his own fears, his own appetites, and he obeyed even to the death of the cross. And so he won a decisive victory over Satan on the cross. And when Christ bowed his head and died, he bore the pillars of Satan's kingdom with him to the earth, like Samson did to the Philistines. It's an amazing story of how Jesus won this complete victory over Satan and sin. And he recovered the original favor that man had with God, the original holiness and the original happiness, and the dominion that Satan had forfeited. Now this victory that the second Adam won becomes our victory, just like Adam's defeat became our defeat. And it is through our faith in Jesus that we can receive this incredible victory that Jesus has bought us. And this victory will continue to unfold until finally we are together with him and death is totally vanquished. You know what? When we read this story, we have to come to the conclusion that this story is so important for us to keep before us at all times. Because this story is the story whereby we too can have victory. It is by having faith, by putting our confidence in our Savior, that you and I can overcome. The story should inspire us with love and devotion and faith in Jesus because of what he has done for us. You know, I think of Mandela. I think about what he accomplished and how beloved he became. He spent 27 years suffering for the cause and eventually bringing his people to this great, great freedom. But one greater than Mandela has come, one greater than any other freedom provider, and that is Jesus Christ. And he wants to give this victory to us. Can you imagine? And it is through our faith and confidence in him that we can gain the same victory that he gained. Now, this gift is beyond our imagination. He wants to give us victory in our personal lives, victory over habits, victory over all that binds us. He wants to give us freedom from guilt, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. This gift is a gift that he gives to everyone, and it's a gift, the free gift of grace. Will you and I accept it? Will we embrace it? This is the question. And the whole Bible is an argument on behalf of what Christ has done, an invitation to receive it before it's too late. May you and I embrace it with all of our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this incredible gift of victory in Christ. And I want to accept it in my life, and I want to embrace it entirely. Father in heaven, we all want to embrace this. We all want to accept it and walk in this life that you have given to us. And I just want to pray that every one of us would have that gift and would experience the strength and the power that you give as we accept you into our hearts. Thank you, Father, that you did what we couldn't do for ourselves and that you gave us this as a perfect, complete gift that we only have to receive into our lives and into our hearts. May we do so and not keep anything in the way, but give our whole selves to following Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.